you that you are on time. I will really try to be on time. I wanted to start this section with asking you just a little bit, what did you learn this morning? As I was saying, these lectures are meant to be discovery lectures. I hope they are like this. We will not ask now the devotees who are a little elderly, but it's just the course members. Let us hear a little bit to share your insight. Please share your insights so that we learn a little bit from you. Not all at once.
I can speak. I was reflecting after hearing about the symptoms of faith, the first being when one develops virya, which is
virya. Virya.
Virya. And how that's enthusiasm and strength, spiritual strength. And over the last few months, my son has become quite a lot stronger, and I found this enthusiasm to wake up and chant my rounds in the morning. And I didn't know where it came from, because it didn't feel like it was coming from me at all. And I was, you know, thanking Krishna and being very grateful for it. And now I realise that it's actually that my faith has got stronger. That's the symptom. So now I'm praying for the undisturbed mind, which I certainly have not got yet. And secondly, about the relationship, the process, but actually the chanting. Our chanting is about having a relationship with Krishna, and I believe, from my understanding, that's abhideya as well. It's about the process. It's not about the goal. A relationship isn't a goal. It's something that you live every day, and it's, you know, I don't love my family in order to, you know, at the end of a certain amount of time, I'm going to love them. It's an everyday, it's what I do in every day, and the things that I do for them every day. So, yes,
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Other devotees, would you like to share a little? Hare Krishna.
From my understanding of the class this morning, I developed the thought that it might not be completely right, but I thought that maybe with your enlightenment, is the case. Like a athlete needs to train their body, their muscles, their strengthen their bones. Someone who is an expert in anything needs to train their mind and learn knowledge and intelligence. I thought that maybe faith is the name of the strength of the soul, which needs to be nourished and cultivated in order to become strong.
Yes, the moment you see the relationship between faith and your spiritual strengths and later your abilities to be undisturbed in mind and to be always absorbed in Krishna, the moment you see the relationship, you know where you have to work, you know where you have to supply nourishment, where you have to give your attention to. The moment you understand that faith is there at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of your spiritual journey, you begin to become much more attentive to nourishing that faith. And Haridas Thakur offers us a good place to nourish our faith. He says it comes really also by connecting with one's spiritual master, with a personality who does have this tremendous amount of faith in Krishna, and serving him. It's very interesting. Faith is a matter, or is a subject matter, which you will find in the association of the faithful. That's why in our movement we are again and again referring devotees to reading Prabhupada's books and associating with Srila Prabhupada through his vani, and then doing something in his service. There's a very nice description in the Harinam Chintamani of how serving a pure devotee immediately increases our faith that is very, very nicely it is said, in order to overcome shadow chanting and obtain the pure name, the living entity must serve the genuine guru with great attention. By doing this service, the anattas or impurities in the heart will disappear, and the pure name, endowed with all spiritual potency, will dance on the devotee's tongue. At that time, the devotee will not be able to separate himself from the stream of sweet nectar emanating from the holy name, and he will dance constantly, mad with the sweetness of the name. In great joy, the name will dance, the jiva will dance, and prema, love itself, will dance with the jiva. This will make the whole universe dance, and will force maya to flee. So you can see this shraddha, this strong faith, will come by the service of a genuine guru, which you prefer, do with great attention. And then the impurities in the heart will disappear. And at that time, Krishna's holy name will start to really do something with you. He will dance on the tongue, you will dance. Everything is just dancing. Wouldn't it be nice to have a less ordinary life, a life of dance, you know, spiritual dance, where bhakti is dancing, you are dancing, the name is dancing, and so on. This comes by the contact with a pure soul. I really recommend to you to find out places where you can increase your faith. Just like when we travel, we have to figure out, are there gas stations around which I can use to fill my tank, my gasoline tank? In much the same way, you need to find out, where are stations in my life where I can get more faith, where I can fill up my faith batteries, my faith supplies. Nice. Thank you for both of you for sharing your realization, and thank you so much for being there. This journey. We have made a little graphicon for you, so that you can just go over this point again, which describes the journey of faith. It starts with faith in the scriptures and faith in the process of devotional service. I think you had that. You understood this. This is very important when we speak about faith. It can't just be something abstract. It must be concretely directed towards Shastra and to the process. I must tell you, I'm so personally grateful for this explanation from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It helped me so much. Faith, yes, faith and what? And faith where to put? Yeah, I believe in Krishna, yeah, yeah. But here it is how you should go about. Then, from this comes virya, the vigor or energetic endeavor to pursue the bhakti process. I remember when I was a young devotee or with young devotees, we would do anything and everything. We just didn't have any limitations because of that initial faith. Then afterwards comes smriti, an undisturbed mind. Our Mataji was praying for this. Good. It will come, don't worry, don't worry. One keeps one keeps the goal in mind no matter what. It really doesn't matter to you that you are in this situation or that situation, because your faith is so strong. You always have your orientation, your North Pole. And then you come to samadhi. Undivided concentration. Krishna Samadhi. Oh! And finally they say pragya, that is realization, is the goal at the end where you reach this. You might like to take this and apply it to the holy name. In the evening we will talk more about this in relationship to Haridas Thakur. He had all these symptoms really. I see you're still writing, so I will not interrupt you. No. We will do now a little kirtan and then we will start the instruction of this morning session. Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
This was this one based on a raga. I learnt it from His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj. His melodies are raga melodies, and there are so many. What melodies to play? I think that we will learn by when we do the, when you come to your in the afternoon to your instrument teachers. I can imagine that this is part of their part of the lessons which they teach you. Yeah, I mean, when I joined Krishna Consciousness, I had been a music lover. My training, I can't speak of a formal training, but I would listen to a lot of Bach and Led Zeppelin. And this was my my training, Bach and Zeppelin. So when I came to Krishna and other music, world music, when I came to Krishna Consciousness, I was overwhelmed after some time by the variety of melodies. I remember in the very beginning there were just a few melodies, the morning tune for instance, but then as the movement grew, the variety of melodies grew, and I remember I made a recording of all the melodies I could get hold of, and then I gave up after some time, because it's just so many. When I'm choosing a melody, then I look basically for one thing, which melody can help me to bring my emotions out to Krishna. Because kirtan means glorification, it's a devotional act. And I want that to sing those melodies where my devotional emotions and devotional feelings can be awakened and go to Krishna. When I became a devotee, I used to sing the Hare Krishna mantra to classical tunes, which I had picked up from Bach and Mozart. I used to sing that in the bathroom. At that time I was not a kirtan leader. But then one devotee told me, Mozart is in Tamagun. And I made an investigation of it, and we should look for melodies which have not so much connection with Rajas and Tamas. I think Mozart is more in Rajas than in Tamas, but this is not important. This is not part of the Kirtan course. thank you for your question. I think we as devotees all respond to different melodies and see which melodies can help you to bring out your devotional feelings for Krishna, that you can glorify Him. That's the main criterion. Melodies is just a sugar coating, but inside must be the holy name, the medicine. The sugar coating is not as important as the medicine. So the melodies which help us to appreciate are not as important as the pure chanting, which is done in the mood of glorifying Krishna. What I wanted to do to you, this morning is, I wanted to just speak about these two resting places of faith and what it means in relationship to the holy name. I will give you a reading assignment a little later, where you will be able to read some of this, and what I read to you, you will be able to read in your own book. There is one verse in the Shastras which you will find again and again quoted in different books, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find it quoted, Rupa Goswami quotes it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes it in Harinam Chintamani. It's the verse which is most often quoted when the holy name is described. And since we are wanting to put our faith now in the statements of the Shastras, we will look at this verse a little. The verse is, those who know how to chant it can join me. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraya Nityamutto Punoshutho Vinatvang Namanamino. It says that the holy name is like a Chintamani, it's a touchstone, which can give you everything you desire. Steve Jobs, you might know, the American entrepreneur, was a pot washer in the Boston Temple for some time. When he was poor and lived in a garage, he would always go to the Hare Krishna Sunday feast and eat for a whole week, you know, and take things home. And to show his gratitude, he would wash the pots. And he must have chanted a lot of Hare Krishna, but maybe he had the desire to open up a big firm, an apple firm. And the holy name gave him that. The holy name is a wish-fulfilling tree or wish-fulfiller who can give you anything. If you are a young unmarried woman and you chant wishing to marry someone, it will work, but I don't recommend it. Thus, the holy name will give to the materialist dharma, karma, art and moksha. But for the devotees who want pure love of Krishna, it will give that prema bhakti, that love. A very important thing is that the holy name is nitya mukta. It is freed from material imperfection. Although it is here in the material world, nitya mukta means the holy name is free from the material imperfections. And it is Chaitanya Vigraha, it is eternally full of life force. The name is, but the most important quality which we learn is that the name itself is not different from the named. Krishna, in other words, the sound, is not different from Krishna the person. And to tell us this, one Shastra, which I just recently found, gives us a very nice analogy to, in order to teach us how the name is identical with Krishna. But we just can't see it in the beginning like this. There was once a little a young girl who had lost both of his parents. She didn't know who her father was and who the mother was, and she lived in the forest by herself and just had a little friend, a bird, and lived a very frugal or modest life. She became very skinny and thin. Then she heard of the prince, a king's son, who lived across the nine rivers and the three oceans. Somehow she felt this must be a very special person. One day her bird was missing and returned only after 2 months, and the bird told her, "I was across the nine rivers and the three oceans, and I was in the palace of the prince, and he is such a wonderful personality, full of good qualities." And as this poor girl listened to the glories of the prince, a desire developed in her heart to meet him. Now one day, She was in her little straw cottage. She heard a knocking at the door, and when she opened, she saw a man dressed in valuable clothes. This man introduced himself and said, "I'm the messenger of the prince who lives across the three oceans. The prince wants to see you." "Me? I'm so poor and so unqualified." "No, he has heard about you and he wants me to bring to him. Are you ready to come with me?" The girl said, "When?" And the messenger responded, "Immediately." So the girl gave up her little cottage. There was nothing to leave, really, not much pots, nothing, and went with the messenger. She crossed the nine rivers, and when they arrived at the bank or the border of the first ocean, there was already an arranged boat. So they went in the boat and they came closer and closer to the palace. But as they were traveling, a big problem happened in the mind of the girl. She developed feelings for the messenger. And the longer they traveled, the more they traveled, she found out she had fallen in love with the messenger. Finally, they arrived at the palace. It was an ornate palace. The girl felt terrible. "I'm soon standing before the prince who has arranged all of this, who has brought me, who has sent the boats, who, and more than anything, he sent his messenger to me. But my unfaithful heart, my very bad heart, fell in love with the messenger. How will I look him into the eyes? How will I feel so unchaste, so very disqualified?" So the messenger said, I will now go and inform the prince, and a servant will come and bring you to the into the palace." She felt, "Oh no, don't leave me, please don't leave me." But at the same time, she felt, "Maybe you should leave me." So she waited, and then a servant came and said, "Are you ready to look at the prince?" And she was in two minds. The servants led her into the court room, and there was a big throne at the end. And on the throne, do you know who was sitting on the throne?
The messenger.
The messenger. This is the analogy. Krishna comes to us in form of the holy name, but we don't recognize him as such. We think it's, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Yes, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And we are not very impressed. We are finding it difficult to concentrate. But as we go on our journey, we develop more of a relationship to the Holy Name. And as this relationship became more and more embedded in us, like our Mataji, your good name again?
Abigail.
Oh yeah. Abigail?
Yes.
Abigail, oh. Like Abigail said, it's a relationship which you start after some time, when there's a real relationship, like to the family, it's something which is constantly there. So you will also have the holy name constantly there. And at that time, the holy name will reveal himself as being identical with Krishna. I saw in my own spiritual master, I don't know if I told you yesterday, I must have told you, I saw that he was chanting even in his sleep. And in the early days, I do remember this, Prabhupada had a second heart attack. It was not a very big one, but we were all very worried. He was there in the operation theater, and the surgeons were ready to do whatever needed to be done to cure his heart. They brought the anesthesia, but no matter how much anesthesia they put on Srila Prabhupada, he continued to chant. And so they phoned the temple, when will the old man ever stop? And we said, most probably never. It's a relationship, a constant presence for a pure devotee. Now, I know when we have here in our Radha Desh mellows usually the last weekend of January, maybe, then devotees have reported that because they sit so long in the kirtans, it's 2 days kirtans, they somehow by this somewhat, we could almost say forced, you know, they bring themselves by force to the kirtans, which is not difficult because they are so wonderful. By this, they in the night, the kirtan continues to revolve in the mind. Have you felt that also? Yeah, you have felt that at times. I can only recommend to you, do this, because at that time when there is a relationship developing, the next step will be that you know Krishna is not different from his holy name. He reveals himself. The messenger will take off his messenger dress and put on the princely dress and sit there. Hari Bol, I'm here for you to see. It's like this. Prabhupada, he said, when we chant, one day Krishna will be next to us and say, here I am, you called me. It's the same thing. The name will, as the messenger turns into the prince, the name for us will turn into Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Nitya Mukto Purno Shuddho, Binatvang Nama Namino. Binatvang Nama Namino, this last line means the name is not different from the named. So this is the philosophy. This is the Shastic information from Padma Purana, which all our acharyas repeat. They want to, and there are many beautiful explanations of this verse. One of them you will learn in your reading assignment, which you will get. It's a short thing, just two paragraphs. The nature of the holy name. You will learn. You will find that out. And I will give you this as a task. Just two paragraphs. Now I would like to explain to you the process, faith in the process, because that's what we learn. And see where we are, shastras, faith in shastras, now faith in the process. And then we will make a pause. I will ask you to forget everything we said. And then we will make an exercise which you will not forget and tell your grandchildren about. It's very powerful exercise. We will actually practice the proper chanting. We just see. I actually see we have spent an hour together. But I will just go quickly through the steps. Let me just ask my assistant. Yeah, denke ich auch. I have a pedagogic advisor here, how to teach my stuff, because I'm not so good in that. So I suggest we make a little pause now. There's something you need to know about pauses. Pauses are very, very important, because they help us to absorb more knowledge. If you just have too much information and don't make a pause, you will not be able to absorb the information. During a pause, you should ideally do something totally different than you did. You're not thinking about the subjects which you have heard. You're in fact freeing your mind so that it will become again quite elastic and fresh to absorb new information. We will start this pause very simple. Tomorrow I want to do a few mindful movements with you in the pause, where I teach you how to quickly energize your body. I would really need this, but you will all look at me and not make your pause, so I will not do this. I suggest, is 10 minutes enough, or, yeah? I think every hour 10 minutes, that's enough. So I have now on my wristwatch 11:30. I request you to be back here 20 minutes to 12. Yeah? That is also a valuable pause. You might, but I suggest to go outside. If you want to rest, there are trees. It's a valuable thing. Just do it a little in private, in the shade, when no one sees you. But it's a good idea. It's really good. Hare Krishna.